Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 45, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
And at this time, the cities of the nations fell, because this is a world nuclear exchange. And Babylon the Great was remembered in the sight of God to give unto her His wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. There it is again. Babylon is both the whole world from Babel and the melting pot of the United States. Here's the proof of the world Babylon, Isaiah 25:2. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a fortified city a ruin, a place of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. In other words, Babylon is a spiritual entity that has invaded the world. Okay? Verse 3. Therefore shall a strong people glorify thee. A city of terrible nations shall fear thee. You know that the UN is just a U.S. of the nations. That's all it is. Babylon at the top, America at the top, has created something in its own image. It has created a beast in its own image. It's a UN of the nations. Okay? A city of terrible nations. Zechariah 14:1, Behold, a day of the Lord cometh, a day which is a year, right? When thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations, that is the UN. A UN force will be coming down to invade Israel and to divide it. Against Jerusalem, again, the USA, because what happens to Jerusalem is also going to happen immediately thereafter to the USA. Okay? That is Armageddon to battle. Armageddon is just one battle that actually spreads throughout the earth. All the people are gathered there, but these people represent nations that are going to be at war. So this is a world war. It's not contained in Armageddon at all. That's just where it starts, and that's where it ends, but it's not contained there. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity. And the remnant of the people shall not be, or residue of the people, shall not be cut off from the city. Notice that a remnant of people will still be in the city, but half of the city will go into captivity. And God has not yet gone forth and to fight against the nations. He's permitted the nations to take half of the city of natural Jerusalem and USA. He's permitted the nations to take this, and He's not yet gone forth to fight against them. But He said, a remnant or a residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This is a symbol for the saints in the USA and the UN. You see, God's not going to go forth and fight until there's a threat against His people. Then He's going to go forth and fight against those nations. Verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. That's when He fought in the day of battle. Again, He permitted them to take half of the city, or half of the USA. because that's a symbol for the USA. A great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Look, they came as one, a united nation, a one world empire. Now God's divided them into three to fight with one another. Why did he do this? To save his people. There's no worse distraction in all the world. I mean, here they are persecuting and God's people who are basically not resisting them except by the power of the Spirit and the spoken word. They're not resisting them militarily or anything like that. And yet, when they come to the place where they are a threat to this remnant who are not cut off from the city but protected, then God goes and fights against them. That lets you know it's not natural Israel nor natural United States that has any particular love in God's heart. It's this remnant right here that are holy. That's when he goes forth to fight. As when he fought in the day of battle. He's going to go forth as when he fought in the day of battle, the Bible says. Well, how did God fight in the day of battle? Here's an example. He's going to go forth and fight against those nations just like he fought before. Okay, and here's where he fought before. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. Hearken ye all Judah, Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Fear ye not, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. So here's where God went and fought. Okay? And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liars in wait against the children of Ammon. By the way, Ammon, in relationship to Jerusalem, was north. Like the king of the north is Russia. This is a type and a shadow here. Watch, because this is exactly how the battle is going to go. Exactly like this. Because God said he's going to fight like he fought. And he divided the nations, and this is how he divided them. Okay? Against the children of Ammon, the king of the north to Jerusalem. Right? Now that Russia is the king of the north. Okay? Moab, that's the king of the east to Jerusalem, which represents China and all those that follow her. Right? And Mount Seir, which was the king of the south in relationship to Jerusalem. And that is the United States, okay, that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. God set liars in wait against them, and these three that came as one were smitten, okay? Verse 23, for the children of Ammon, that's the children of the north, Russia, and Moab, that's the children of the east. Notice, north and east are joining together here, stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, which is the king of the south. That's America. So the king of Russia and China and all their confederates with them are going to rise up against America and utterly to slay and destroy them, he says. And when they made an end of inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. Now that goes right along with Demetrius' revelation, right? First, the North and the South attack America. Then the North and the East attack America. And then the kings of the East attack Russia, the king of the North. And that's exactly what happens here. See? Exactly what happens. One, they came as one, they were divided into three in order to do what? Spare the people of God. They're distracting them. See, what happened here in this particular case? If they hadn't been divided and killed each other off, they would have been attacking the people of God. So this is how he saved the people of God. So north and east were against the south, and then east against the north. In a global beast empire, remember when we went from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we're not talking about individual empires, but a global beast empire. In a global beast empire, north and south do not need to be on the same longitude as it was with Old Testament types. The Russian bear is north of the 47th parallel, and the U.S. eagle is south of the 47th parallel. All Bible types of the kings of the north and the south have been in the northern hemisphere. So when you say north and south, you're talking about still above the center of the earth, right? As Media Persia was north and east of Babylon, so Russia is north and east of the United States. The relationships are all the same. Notice the measurements and the relationships are all the same, you know? At Armageddon, where the war begins, the U.S. soldiers in the UN Beast Army will occupy the southern battle arena or battle theater. This means that U.S. will be the king of the south and Russia will be the king of the north in both battle theaters in the Middle East and the world. Both battle theaters. It's interesting how God makes his verses fit so many things at one time. As when he fought, how did he fight? Well, the king of the north, Russia, with their allies, along with the kings of the east, China, Japan, North Korea, etc., all their allies, will lead the UN Beast Kingdom against the king of the south. This happens after all nations are gathered together at Jerusalem. Right there is where it starts. That's where God divides them up. There's a civil war in the midst of the beast. You know, they said, who can make war with the beast? Why did they say that? Because the beast now has all militaries devoted to that one empire. Who can make war with the beast? There's only one way the beast can be at war. Civil war. God is raising up a civil war in the midst of a one world empire. A civil war. Then the kings of the east will lead the UN Beast Kingdom against the king of the north, the Russian Federation, and their allies in Europe. And everyone helped to destroy one another, the scripture says. In this way the beast shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Daniel 7 and 23. In this way, three of the 10 kings of the Magna Regions, the Constitution for the Federation of Earth called these continental divisions, Magna Regions, three of the 10 kings of the Magna Regions will be plucked up by the roots. And that is because the United States rules their Magna Region, Russia rules their Magna Region, and China rules their Magna Region. So it's very interesting what God's planning. He's planning on saving his saints by dividing the enemy that's persecuting him. A sign of this division, Zechariah 14 and 4, and his feet shall, notice it just says his feet, for now I'm just going to leave it at that, and his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. The Lord doesn't come for his people. He doesn't come to earth for his people at the beginning of the tribulation. He comes for his people, comes to earth at the end of the tribulation. Okay? People are mistaking what this is meaning. I'm going to prove it to you in a few minutes. His feet shall stand on that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof. Here's the cleft of a rock here, folks. The ancient Mount of Olives was called the Mount of Corruption because upon it were the abominations to the harlot religions of Ammon, which was the king of the east, Moab, which was the king of the south, and Sidon, which was the king of the north. So on the top of this mountain represented a united beast kingdom. On the top of this, they had all their idolatrous relics up there, you see. And these were built by Solomon for his heathen wives. And Solomon represented the beast who united all the false religions of the world into a one-world religious order. He brought the harlot religions together for his wives' sake. 1 Kings 10 and 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666. 666. In that case, in this parable, Solomon represented the beast who united these harlot religions together in a one-world religious order, which represented the religions of the nations. Okay? In Zechariah 14 and 4, it says, and the Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half of it towards the south. Now, Daniel's Roman Empire, leading up to the end time, had legs of iron and feet, part of iron and part of clay. It had an eastern leg and a western leg. Okay? And we're talking about the Eastern Roman Empire that went up through, you know, Germany and Turkey and on up through Russia and the Western Roman Empire, of which mostly America is a part of. Okay? So this cleft, east and west, represents the division of the united feet of the image of the beast. See, since the Cold War was so-called over, you know, we got everything together in the UN. We actually are having resolutions that are unanimous. That's never happened before. See? And what's going to happen is there was once again going to come this division between the Eastern and Western Roman Empire. Okay? So this cleft, East and West, represents this division of these feet again. And because they're gathered together against Jerusalem as one. And they're gathered together against the saints as one. And God's decided to divide them once more. The Eastern foot is the Russian and the East Bloc allies in the north, and the Western foot is the U.S., NATO, and the West Bloc allies in the south. Joined to both of these are the clay nations that were never part of the original Iron Roman Empire. You got the iron, the clay, in the feet and the toes, you see. So, Jesus's feet, splitting the Mount of Olives represents this three-way split in the beast kingdom. The iron in both feet and the clay. A three-way split. If you look on the top of the Mount of Olives today, you will see an assortment of Eastern Roman Empire, Western Roman Empire, and Muslim holy places. That's iron and clay. If you look on the top of it today, no longer is Solomon's ancient monuments up there, but now we've got these modern apostate monuments up there. And there's a Greek Orthodox monastery, which is Eastern Roman Empire, a Russian Church of Mary Magdalene, which is Eastern Roman Empire, a Russian Orthodox monastery, which is Eastern Roman Empire, a Roman Catholic Church of all nations, which is Western Roman Empire, a Church of Pater Noster, which is Western Roman Empire, and a Muslim Mosque of the Ascension, which is clay. So you got the iron and the clay, the iron of the East, the iron of the West, and the clay that's joined to both. And after the Western king of the south is conquered by the Eastern king of the north, the clay nations of the east will beat them. Remember, China is going to fight against Russia. Right? The clay which is joined to both feet are some Muslim nations in China, Japan, North Korea, etc., etc. All these nations that ally themselves with both sides, but they're not original Iron Roman Empire. God's going to divide all that. He's going to divide it all into three groups, north, south, and east. An angel spoke to Dimitri Dudeman of this clay war against the bear, which is the kings of the east against the king of the north, right? After its conquest of the United States, here's a portion of that revelation. When God hit America, all the nations will be terrified. God will raise up China, Japan, and many other nations, and they will beat the Russians. They will push them back to the gates of Paris. There they will make a peace treaty, but they will make the Russians their leader. And all the nations with the Russians as their leader will go against Israel. It's not that they want to. God makes them. And this is the last battle. The last battle will once again be against Israel and the return of Jesus and his saints. Okay. So you see, it starts out at Israel. There's a division of the nations, and it ends up at Israel again, with all the nations gathering back together to come against Israel again. Okay. Jesus, in his saints, will divide the beast kingdom. This is what a lot of people don't understand. It's the power the saints are going to have in these days. Once again, they're going to take authority over the nations. They're going to take authority over the world that was given to them. It's in the book. As when he fought. And how did he fight? Well, here's how he fought for Gideon's army. And guess what? It's the same thing. Judges 6 and 33. Then all the Midianites, that's the king of the north in relationship to Israel, which represents Russia and all of her confederates, right? And the Amalekites, which were the king of the south in relationship to Israel, which represents the United States and all of their confederates. And the children of the east, which, of course, is the children of the East, China, and so on and so forth, and their confederates, assembled themselves together, and they passed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. And God said he's going to go forth and fight against them as he fought. Well, here's how he fought. And the three companies of Gideon's army. Now, why three companies? Because in each one of the divisions of the earth, north, south, and east, there is a company of saints whose job it is to divide and destroy that kingdom. And they will do this. So three companies blew the trumpets. You know what a trumpet represents? Think about what a trumpet does. It turns breath into something audible, right? What is breath? It's the word ruach. It's the word spirit. A trumpet represents the Spirit's words being spoken audibly where men can hear them. That's what a trumpet. So these three companies are going to speak the word of the Spirit, okay? That's what it represents. And they break the pitchers and held the torches. What does that represent? You know what the clay pitchers represent? It's talking about the death of the old man. The breaking of this vessel so that the light on the inside can show out. So these people are super spiritual folks, like the saints will be in that day. Super spiritual folks. They've matured. The light has shined forth from them, and they're speaking the word of the Spirit. And you know what they called it? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The Lord set every man's sword against his fellow and against all the host. So when they spoke these words, which was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, it divided these nations into three that came as one. Okay? For the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. See, they spoke the word of God. That was their sword. They spoke the word of God. It destroyed the unity of the nations. The beast kingdom crumbled. And all of a sudden, they're fighting with one another, and they're leaving the saints alone. Zechariah 14, 3 and 4. As when he fought in the day of battle. And here's how it went. And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, and it shall be cleft in the midst. Now watch. In none of the battles that we looked at, where the Lord went forth to fight in the day of battle, did the Lord physically show up? Not one. However, his feet were there. Gideon's army was there. And Jehoshaphat's army was there. Gideon's army spoke the word of the Lord. Jehoshaphat's army went out there to praise the Lord, which is the word halal. It means to boast about what the Lord has done. They spoke the gospel. They preached what the Lord had done, you know. And the enemy just crumbled in front of them, you see. In like manner, in the end time, the feet of the world body of Christ will face and defeat. This is something the Lord spoke to me. Will face and defeat the end time feet of the world body of the beast. You got 10 toes against 10 toes. And every one of those 10, those toes represents a continental division of the earth. And guess what? Saints live there. Saints live there. The saints that live there that are going to destroy the beast, they live there. And they're going to defeat them too. The 10 toes of Christ will be warring in each of the 10 toes of the continental divisions. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. I want to prove to you that when his feet stood upon the Mount of Olives, he wasn't there. His feet were there. It doesn't say he was there. Okay? And he put all things in subjection under his, that is Jesus' feet. And he gave him to be the head. Jesus is not the feet. Jesus is the head of the body, right? He gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. He put all things in subjection under his feet. That's the very lowest member of the body of Christ. You know, we've been given authority over this earth. We've been given this authority. And soon, God's people are going to rise up into that authority because, like I said, the teaching and the latter rain is going to empower them to do this. Malachi 4, 3 through 5. Oh, excuse me, Psalm 47 and 3. He subdueth peoples under us and nations under our feet. We're the feet of the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body, and the feet represent the end time body of Christ. Remember Daniel's vision? The historic vision of the image of the beast. The toes in the historic vision were the end time body of the beast. And the stone came out of the mountains and hit the beast in the toes and crumbled the whole thing. Well, that represents the end time body of Christ destroying the end time body of the beast. So if the toes were the end time body of the beast, there's toes that are the end time body of Christ. The toes of the end time body of Christ are going to destroy the toes of the end time body of the beast. And he says, and nations under our feet, under the feet, under the feet. It's in these days that God's people are going to rise up and take their authority and destroy the beast kingdom. These days. Never happened before. It's going to happen in these days. Malachi 4, 3 through 5. and you shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make. Remember ye the law of Moses, and I will send you Elijah. Notice, that's the two witnesses. At the end of the two witnesses' ministry, he said, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. At the end of the two witnesses' ministry, that's when this happens. Okay? Psalm 149, 6 through 9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Remember Jehoshaphat's army? How did they destroy the beast? Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand, representing the Word of God, right? To execute vengeance upon the nations, and to bind their kings with chains, to execute upon them the judgment written. See, God's people are going to execute the judgment that is written upon the beast kingdom. This honor have all of His saints. Look at that. All of His saints have this authority and have this honor. And soon, they're going to take it and execute it. Genesis 1 and 26. Let them, this is speaking of both Adam and his children, let them have dominion over all of the earth. Now, Adam lost that dominion. He was given dominion over all of the earth, and he lost it through sin. Because the Bible says, His servants you are, whom you obey. When they obeyed Satan, they gave their dominion to Satan. Okay? But God sent what He calls in 1 Corinthians 15, the last Adam. You know why Jesus came? He came to destroy, to restore the dominion to His children. Adam's children were natural creations. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15. But Jesus' children were spiritual creations. Jesus did not lose His dominion. As the last Adam, He didn't lose the dominion that was given to Him. And so, since He didn't sin and give it to the devil, He was able to pass it on to us. What Jesus handed on to us is awesome dominion that most of the church is not walking in yet. But they will learn it. They will understand it. It's written there already. It's there for us. It's just a matter of entering into it, right? Jesus, people say, well, Jesus did that because He was the Son of God. Well, the Bible calls you a son of God too. But that's not why God gave Him dominion. Look at the verse. He gave Him authority to execute judgment because He is a son of man. It wasn't that God gave authority to God or the angels. He gave authority over the earth to man. And Jesus had to come as a man to partake of that authority and pass it on to His spiritual children. He had to do that. Hebrews 2, 5 through 8. For not unto angels did He subject the world to come. Literally, that is the inhabited earth. Some of your Bibles probably have a footnote there. The Greek there says, the inhabited earth. For not unto angels did He subject the inhabited earth whereof we speak. And then He quotes Psalm 8 in Hebrews 2. What is man that Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that Thou visitest him? See, we are the Son of Man. That's why we have dominion over this earth. We are man and the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was man and the Son of Man. And inside the man and the Son of Man dwelt the Son of God.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.